Hello, what have we here?
What do we have here? Maybe the smoothest actor ever, and he's still loving it all.
I try to make things bigger than life.
A career that spanned more than 70 years of just doing it his way.
Well, you know, I was raised with this kind of idea that I can be anything I want to be.
He's a superstar of the big screen. So good to see the Billy Dee Williams on The Pulse.
Good to see you too, old buddy.
This is General Lando Calrissian.
We know who he is, 3PO.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. You know what we do every week, talking to people, doing amazing things, having great careers. But I can honestly say, I don't know that I have been able to sit back and say that I have spoken to a legend of entertainment, somebody who has changed the game, somebody who is universally recognized and known, now a best-selling author, painter, of course, actor, Mr. Billy Dee Williams joins us on The Pulse. How are you, sir?
I guess I'm okay. I'm a little exhausted running around and talking about my book, but I'm okay.
But I guess that's a good thing.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Oh, good.
I guess it's a good thing if you have so much to talk about that it's exhausting and a New York Times bestseller and people want to talk about it, right? That's a positive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question.
So what we have here, Portraits of a Life, that quickly a New York Times bestselling, like not even a month. Tell us about it. Why'd you decide to do it?
Well, you know, I'm going to be 87 in April. And, you know, when you get to be my age, you start thinking in terms of thinking about legacy and things of that nature. So that was the impetus but actually, you know, I've been putting together a book for over 20 some years. This one took 2.5 years, but there's a book that I'm still interested in completing. It's a coffee table book. It's talking about my life and my interests through my paintings. So I've been doing that for over 20 some years. But anyway.
Wow. Like that one sounds equally interesting. So not going to push you, but we would love to see that one too.
Yeah, well, that's down the road. This one seems to be working pretty good. So... The other one is forthcoming.
I would say this one is working pretty good. When you talk about legacy and you talk about the type of career that you've had, I introduced you as a legend, and I'm certainly not the first. What's it feel like when people look back on a career and a life that you're living and consider it legendary?
I'm still alive.
Absolutely.
I'm still above ground. So that's a good thing.
And still
doing. Looking back, I mean, my whole book is about looking back and up to this point in my life. So, you know, I've had a very interesting life since I was a child. It was a very eclectic kind of life. It included a lot of interesting experiences. So, yeah, it's great, you know, I think it was a good idea to talk about it. I mean, most people think when they think in terms of their experiences, especially these days, it's one thing or the other. But it's always been that gray area. That area between black and white. It's always, I see myself as the full spectrum of colors. And I thought it would be interesting to kind of express something about that or talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. In doing research and looking at the book and preparing for the interview, I saw that there was a moment in your career that kind of addressed that, you know, and there was a I guess, a producer who was telling you you can be anything you want to be, play any character you want to play, any race or what have you. And that seemed to really resonate with you. Was that always the case, or those kind of moments put you on that path?
Well, you know, I was raised with this kind of idea that I can be anything I want to be. And of course, that what you're talking about was a discussion I had with one of the great actors that I worked with in my very first movie, Paul Muni, who was an extraordinary individual. But yeah, the whole idea is that, you know, whatever you decide you want to be, whatever you decide to be from day to day, from moment to moment, you can do it, and do it convincingly.
I feel like you know, I'm sorry.
But you should have the option. I think, I mean, I can only speak for myself. I don't give advice. I don't tell people how to live their lives. But as far as I'm concerned, it's much more interesting and much more exciting to be able to do whatever it is that you think you're capable of doing and do it successfully.
But it creates a lot of really interesting stories. And you talk about your interesting life, and having that mindset, was it intentional, or just having that mindset broke down stereotypes? You know, Brian's song broke down stereotypes. You know, Empire Strike Back broke down stereotypes. Was that the goal, or that's just you living you?
That's me. You know, that's how I've always lived my life. You know, the whole idea of being a stereotype is something that does not interest me.
So these roles, but you do recognize that things like Brian's song did change things. It changed how people viewed relationships.
Well, I think it's because, again, you know, it's me. It's the whole idea of making things more than just as they exist. I try to make things bigger than life. That's how I approach my art as an actor, and that's how I approach my art as a painter. It's a kind of a universal perspective, you know, as opposed to just living this kind of provincial, myopic kind of existence. I see myself beyond. Well, I'm pretty much saying it. I mean, bigger than life. That's how I see myself.
Well, and that role, it's interesting, though, because you...
And my characters. All the characters I play. They're more than just ordinary people. There's something heroic about them.
So did you pick them that... Did you pick them that way? Or you made them that way?
I made them that way. Usually I'm making them that way. I mean, I'm given something to play with, like the Lando Calrissian, mm-hmm. You know, in the Star Wars. When I heard the name Calrissian, I said, my goodness, that's Armenian. Let me see what I can do with that. Let me see what I can come up with. And then when I got the cape, I said, my goodness, now that's Errol Flynn time. Now I'm making this kind of, and he's a bit dubious. So I take all of those elements and put it together, and you can come up with a very interesting character. So anyway.
When you're putting together the book, and now, and we're already starting to touch on it, the major characters, your kind of reflection, and you get a chance when you're looking back on you, like, did you learn anything, or has the response that people have had going, wow, this has been and continues to be, you know, an amazing, trailblazing life? Did you expect that kind of response?
Well, I think that I've managed to succeed in bringing some innovative aspects or perspectives to what I do as a performer and as a painter. Yeah, I think it's worked. I think people kind of know that when they see me, they're going to get something a bit different than from what they normally experience. Yeah, I think it's worked for the most part.
It is very interesting because for somebody who has and continues to achieve so much, you almost seem like it's kind of matter of fact, like you don't necessarily enjoy talking about your successes or the things that you've experience. I mean, it's a humility, but it's almost like I'm just living my life.
Yeah, I am just living my life, and plus I don't really like talking about myself, to tell you the truth. And I don't know if it's a question of being humble or not, but there's so much more so many other things to talk about other than but I decided to talk about myself through my book. I mean, so that, in a sense, no. I do want to talk about myself, but like talk about myself the way I'm talking about myself, verbalizing. Is that a word, verbalizing?
Absolutely.
talking about myself this way is sometimes a little bit uncomfortable. But anyway.
So what?
Here I am.
And people, it's resonating with people because here you are, you know, and in less than a month, everyone's buying it and reading it and taking interest in it. What's your favorite part of this? I mean, painter, actor, musician, all of these different things, best-selling author. What's the part that you like the best?
All of it. You know, I'm like a little kid. I'm like a little sponge. And I think that's what I've always been, and I think until the day I drop out of this barren sod, this veil of tears, that's what I will be, a sponge.
When you're telling the stories throughout your book, What Have We Here? Portraits of a Life, there's a lot of kind of behind-the-scenes things, your relationships with folks, but it also reflects on how the industry has changed. I was looking at how you were considered for Malcolm X in the movie, and the studio were saying, how about Marlon Brando to play the role? You're sitting back going, huh. What's it like watching how the industry has changed over all those years, and you've been kind of an integral part of it?
Well, listen, I mean, when people come up with ideas like that, rather than look at it in some negative way, I just chuckle about it. It's all very funny to me. I mean, listen, if an actor feels they can pull off, if Marlon, and I've met the man, and I admire the man, and I thought he was one of the most brilliant performers in the 20th century. And if he felt like he could pull it off, I want to see it. You know, that's my whole attitude.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Like, this is like, why not? Go for it. See what you can do with it.
When you talked about, you said that you'll be 87 soon. And I read that you got your first role at 7?
Yeah, I was on Broadway in a Broadway musical when I was 6 and a half, 7 years old, and called The Firebrand of Florence. It was based on the life of a great Renaissance sculptor by the name of Benvenuto Cellini. And he was a great sculptor. As a matter of fact, if you ever go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, you'll see his work there. He did a lot of stuff in gold, beautiful stuff. But he was also a kind of a rabble rouser and a scoundrel. So that they decided to do a musical. The musical was by Kurt Weill. Kurt Weill wrote with Bertolt Brecht, Three Penny Opera. And I was on stage with his wife, Lotte Lender. I played a little page boy. I had a little chant. make way for the Duchess, for her grace the Duchess, make way for the Duchess, for her legal, regal Duchess. And then I'd come back on stage with a message from the Duchess. Message from the Duchess, from her grace the Duchess. A message from the Duchess, from her legal, regal Duchess. That was my whole shtick.
That is, I'm sitting back and you're reciting lines from a role that you played at seven. And then, you know, 75 years later, you're doing Lando Calrissian again at 82. Like, if anybody had ever said to you that this would be the type of career you have, like, that's unbelievable to me. What is it to you?
Listen, it's all a surprise to me. Listen, I welcome it. I said, okay, if that's what you want to do, let's do it. Just give me the money and I'll do it and I'll go home.
Was there any point, or is there any point throughout your career when you realize the type of impact you had? You were called the Black Clark Gable. You know, people were considering you for roles that traditionally people of color were not really looked at. Your spokesperson. Some people know you, Lando Calrissian to Colt 45. You know, you look at all of this. Was there ever a point you sat back and went, I'm doing something?
Oh, no, but I mean, it's all intentional. I mean, given and a subject matter or something that I can work with, as I said earlier, I'm going to see how far I can take it and see what I can do with it and make it something interesting and make it something special. But rather than sit around and cry the blues about why things aren't happening and why there's so much discontent, I'd rather not be a part of that. I don't want to spend my time and my energy being pissed off. I'd rather, find ways to work my way around an obstacle or work my way through an obstacle. So it's much, and if you succeed, you walk away feeling a lot better than being pissed off.
When you're
something like that.
When you're so good at something that it resonates with people. I was reading and saw interviews where after you first played Lando Calrissian, people were stopping you in the airport, people yelling at you for betraying Han Solo.
Oh, yeah. I picked my daughter up from school, and the kids would say to me in the middle of the schoolyard, you betrayed Han Solo. Or I get on an airplane and have a airline stewardess accuse me of betraying Han Solo. And, I got that. Listen, I had a 10-year-old kid once say to me, I was doing a Q&A, and he stood in front of a mic and he said, "You ever betray anybody?" And I said, "No." He said, "No, you can tell me. We can go back behind, you can tell me." I mean, it scared the hell out of me. I thought that, and his father was standing right behind me, and I wanted to punch his father in the face because his father was getting the big kick out of me. But anyway,
so people take it really seriously.
Yeah, I got a lot of that, but people take all of these characters very seriously, and I said, if you people listen to the movie, if you watch the movie and listen to the dialogue, then you'd realize what the whole situation was about with Lando and Darth Vader and Boba Fett. I mean, it was all there. It was all explained. But, people fall in love with characters on the screen, and all of a sudden they want to be their mother and father and guardians and guides. And I mean, it's like, I suppose it's, like when I listen to some people talk about politics today, I mean, it's ridiculous. Some of the thinking that goes on in people's heads, it's like, it's like a total absurdity. Well, anyway, I don't want to get it.
We'll stay away from that for both of us. but I think that as it relates to playing a role, I think that's pretty impressive that people internalize it that much, that in that moment, you're not Billy Dee Williams, you're Lando Calrissian who betrayed their person.
Yeah, it's crazy. But hey, finally, I had to say to people, look, did anybody die? Nobody died. You know, I prevented the complete demise. Lando. He prevented the complete demise of his friend and his friend's friends.
So even you had to be Lando for a minute and explain to people, look, I saved him. Like, yeah, right. What I had to do.
It's crazy. It's insane. But I don't get that anymore, though. Thank goodness. Everybody loves Lando.
Yeah, I know, right? Another one that we were joking about getting ready for this interview was how many people have come up to you over the years and gone, it works every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but I mean, that I love that. I mean, I love doing that commercial. I love those lines. It's fantastic when you're given, you know, a certain kind of dialogue that you can play with and do something interesting with. And, of course, you know, the dialogue that I had for Go 45 or even for a lot of the movies that I've done was the kind of stuff that you can create a character. You can build, hone, and, yeah, create a character around. You know, it works every time. You know, when I said that line, you know, I mean, it was like, it was humor for me. I mean, the kind of humor that allows you to play, to have fun.
Yeah. You know. Well, and apparently they loved it because
I mean, come on.
I read that
it worked. It works every time. You know, don't let the fools, taste fool you, whatever. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. Those lines and how you present those lines can be very engaging if you have a sense of the absurd, or this sense of humor, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and it worked for them because, again, and I'm reading that those commercials, in a lot of ways, skyrocketed them towards the top of sales. Like, everybody wanted to go out there and grab some Colt 45 after somebody as smooth as Billy Dee said it works every time.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's, listen, and my whole perspective was, I didn't just want to like gear it to one group of a cultural group. I wanted all cultures to embrace what I was doing and how I was doing it. That was the real test for me.
So the book, coming back to the book as we're up against the clock, and I'm looking at the time that we have, but coming back to the book, it's already flying off the shelves. People obviously enjoying it. We've talked about some of the stories that are shared in the book. What do you hope that people get from What Have We Here?
Well, again, you know, it's letting people know that there's this guy out there who's totally ridiculous, who sees himself as a walking absurdity, who uses that sense of the absurd to talk about things in a way, in some abstract way, but some concrete abstract way, whatever the hell I'm talking about here. But it's showing how it's really me chuckling. I'm having a big, huge chuckle. And I'm using that chuckle as a way of saying, look, there's a much more interesting way to go about, I think, life as opposed to being pissed off all the time.
Well, I don't think you're absurdity. I still said you're a legend, and it's my pleasure to have had the opportunity to speak with you. I told people that, and we've spoken to a lot of people. I'm not sure that I've gotten this level of excitement from more people when I said, I'm going to sit down and talk to Billy D. And you got 1,000 reactions, all from different movies, depending on what that person's generation is, or commercials, or what have you. So this is and has been a pleasure. We end every interview on The Pulse asking people to use their voice for good. That's the theme of the show. So when you hear that people should use their voice for good, what does that mean to you?
That they should use their voice for good.
That simple.
It's that simple.
And it works every time.
And as I end my book with, Chandelier, baby.
I appreciate you taking the time with us. This has been fun. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, it's nice talking to you, and you stay well.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with the legend, Billy D. Williams. He's just cool. Like, anybody who knows anything about Billy D. Williams, he was cool as Lando Calrissian. He was cool telling people that Colt 45 works every time. He was cool in Lady Sings the Blues and Mahogany and Brian's Song. He's just cool, and he's still cool at nearly 87 years old. I enjoyed the conversation with him. I hope you did as well. Do me a favor, hit subscribe, like, follow, whatever it takes so that you get a notification every time another episode of The Pulse is available. And also, now you can head over to the Fox Local app, download it on all smart TVs, and all the past episodes are right there at your fingertips. You can also always hit me up on social at BillAFox29. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you that whenever you can, to use your voice for good, and have a good one.